Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Dr. Mark McLaughlin with us today. He's a board-certified neurosurgeon specializing in cranial conditions and specific spine disorders. Mark is an international speaker, author, and medical media expert for brain and spinal cord injuries. Dr. McLaughlin continues to practice neurosurgery as well as dedicating time to writing, educating, and inspiring others to be the best they can be. Today we have him to help us find out how to have the best morning routine. So welcome, Mark.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's fantastic to have you on the show. Now, this sounds like you have a fairly stressful life. Doing neurosurgery must be a little bit stressful.
Definitely stressful. And you have to figure out some ways to metabolize that stress so that it doesn't do you in.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to be able to switch to family time and all sorts of other things in your life as well. So how do you create a routine that keeps you grounded and focused and present in the moment?
Well, it's a constant battle, and it never truly gets easy. But if you can find some routines, what I've found for me is if I can get a rhythm in my day, especially early in the morning, that's really helpful for me to sort of project me into a good day. So I have developed a morning routine over the last 5 or 6 years that's really helped me in terms of just launching me. And when I say routine, it's not always, but it's as much as possible, I try and follow those three things: meditate, file, and Franklin Planner.
And Franklin Planner. So how do we start off? You just roll out of bed and find a meditation?
Well, I got to feed my cats first. I've got three cats. So I get up, feed the cats, have a cup of coffee, and then I sit down and meditate. I go to a quiet area. I have two places that I typically meditate. It's good to find a regular place to go that's maybe a little bit out of the beaten path. The kitchen, you could do it in the kitchen, but it's better to find like an area like your study or a quiet area away from where you do your normal activities. And I'll spend my first couple minutes just spending some quiet time, and we can talk about the meditation. And then I move over to my file cabinet, which is in my office, and start looking at files. And I have a particular file system that was sort of inspired by David Allen's book, Getting Things Done. And then I turn to my Franklin Planner to really list the tasks for my day.
Mm-hmm. Can you share with us how you come into that meditative state first off and have that quiet time? And how do you just... you've got a lot on your plate for the day. How do you just disconnect and allow your mind to be quiet?
That's a great question. And, you know, there's no set formula, and it sounds hard, but it's really not. I think we all have it in us. I think the first thing you need to do is to literally just sit in a chair, and I like to close my eyes, and feel the chair that's supporting you. Just feel the contact of your body on the chair, and to just sort of zero in on your breathing and how the air comes through your nostrils and in the back of your throat, and then how your lungs expand. And if you can just spend the time doing that, that's a form of meditation right there. Mm-hmm. There's no right or wrong way to do it, but if you spend some quiet time sitting and being aware of the stimuli that are right in front of you, that's the first step. Another good key that I remember hearing along the way was, you know, yesterday is done and today hasn't begun yet. So this is your time to just sit and be with yourself. And that has helped me a lot as well.
So it sounds like really just connecting the mind and connecting with the body and coming outside the mind.
Yeah, I think that it's got to be quiet. I believe the eyes generally, it's better to be closed. And your mind is going to think of things and start wandering a little bit, but it's okay. You just sort of like, you got to treat it like a little puppy and gently nudge it back to thinking about the breath. I'm thinking about sitting. I'm sitting I have the contact of the chair on my body. It's supporting me. It's effortless. And, you know, when a thought comes into your head, treat it like it's a passing cloud. Just say, okay, there's a thought and I had it, and just sort of move back to breathing in and breathing out.
Mm-hmm. And how long would you stay in this restful state and this calmness before you head to your filing?
It depends, you know. Some days are really hectic and I've got to get to the hospital and it's only a 2 or 3 minute segment. Other times it's a good, you know, if I have the opportunity, I'd like to do it 10 or 15 minutes. I try to do that in the morning for 10 or 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. But you can do it in the middle of the day too. I mean, I do it sometimes during an operation. Let's say I've just finished the really delicate dissection on one side of somebody's neck, and I, you know, it's been hard and tedious, and I've been concentrating, you know, and everything's stable. I'll just take a step back from the table, and, you know, I'll just sort of say, I'm going to just rest here for 30 seconds, and before I go to the other side to do the other side, and I'll just stand there with my hands together, and, you know, again, hear the sounds in the room, feel the floor on my feet, and boom, it's 30-second break. It's a little bit of a what I call a green room in your mind. You turn your mind into the place where you can take a short break before you need to focus again.
So you can do it anywhere, anytime. Your staff might not even know that you've done it as you walk around to the other side.
Yeah, you can do it anywhere. And it's good to just understand that, you know, it's not anything fancy. There's not a lot of effort. It's really just kind of putting yourself in a place where you can be aware of your surroundings and your sensations. And what you'll find is when you do it regularly, you will become more attuned to anomalies, to things that don't absolutely make sense. You'll say hello to somebody and you'll notice their face and you say, doesn't seem like you're doing well today. What's wrong? And so you'll find that over time, if you do this, you become more empathetic with people and with yourself. And then you also just function better. And there are many different kinds of meditation. One of my favorite is the loving kindness or gratitude meditation, which is where you focus on one or two or three concepts that make you happy, and that also can put you in a very good mindset.
That sounds so interesting and so present. Now, with neuroscience, they're really scientifically finding that this meditation is so beneficial for everyone's health now.
That's right. I mean, they've done functional MRI studies on long-time meditators, and what they find is that their brain atrophy, our brain atrophies as we get older, it just shrinks, it loses some cells. They found that long-time meditators don't have the same atrophy that control population patients do. And they also can see that the areas of your brain that are sort of the fight or flight areas, your amygdala, your emotional portion of your brain, it quiets down and it allows for more of a intuitive feeling, and it stops that sort of discursive thought, these distractive thoughts. So it's a muscle that you need to train, but little short segments, 30 seconds, a minute. For somebody who's just trying it out, I would suggest really just a 30-second or a minute every morning is a good way to start. I use an app called 10% Happier, which is an app designed by Dan Harris, who wrote a wonderful book about meditation called Meditation for Fidgety Skeptics.
I love
Excellent
it.
book I highly recommend. And I use that app regularly.
Fantastic. We'll have to look it up. So once you've found that inner calm in the morning and you go to filing, how do you go about this? And what happens when you're organizing your life? How do you do it so that it's really functional?
Well, another book I highly recommend is David Allen's Getting Things Done. It's just it's sort of a design engineering perspective on your life. And Dec's book really spoke to me, where he sort of gives you some tenets that if you can hang on to them and follow them, you're going to feel a little more in control of this world that's flooding us all with information. So the first thing he talks about is how, you know, your brain is not a data collection system. Your brain is a creative machine. It's not designed to store and keep, you know, all these miscellaneous facts that are coming in your life. Remember to set dinner date with this. Remember to get your, you know, spouse a present for their birthday. Remember this, remember that. It's not designed for that. It's designed for creative purposes. And so you need to set up a system in your office that collects all of these tasks and reminds you about it,
so that you don't have to carry them, so that your mind's open to the creative process instead.
Exactly. And you're not in this anxious state where you're thinking, I think I have to do something, but I can't remember what it was. And that's something that, you know, you're always on guard. You can never relax. So it's important when you come up with a task, what he suggested is you create a file system of 1 through 31, which is a tickler file system, and then you create a set of 12 files for every month. And so let's say you get tickets for a concert that's in July, and the tickets arrive. You're kind of like, well, where do I put these things? I'm going to lose them. It's too far away. What am I going to do? Well, you have a file for July, so everything that is going to happen in July goes in July. And then you can file plan months out for that. And then let's say you have a task that's not urgent, but it's something you want to get done in the next week. You can just, let's say today's the 29th, so I'll probably put it in like number 5. So when May 5 rolls around in the morning, right after my meditation, I'll open up file number 5, and whatever that task is, that is the number one priority for me to do right then. And that's a way of really getting things done that need to get done but don't have an urgency to them.
This sounds fantastic. So you don't even need a secretary in your life. It just boom, boom, boom.
Exactly. It's very simple. And then the last file, which I love, is the someday maybe file. And that's where, you know, you see like this beautiful winery, and you're like, oh gosh, I'd love to take my wife Julie to that winery. When am I going to be able to do that? Well, I don't, you know, it's in Vancouver, you know, I'm not going to get that out there on a regular basis. Although I know now that speaking with you, I'm excited to go out there again. And I'd like to, and so I'll put that in the file someday maybe, because I know that I'm going to do it someday. I'll look at that file every once in a while, and I'll pick one out, and then I'll plan the trip. So that's a nice one, too, where you just don't know where to put it. You want to do it, but you don't have the month or the time.
That sounds fantastic. Mark, we're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to learn more about filing and planning. So we'll be right back.